You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 4th of December 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, it's the middle of the week, it's Wednesday, and that means we must have with us revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager from carolynyeager.net. Carolyn, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Good morning to you, Sven.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, I am doing well, and I believe we've got some rather interesting happenings going on over in Germany at the moment that we're going to be talking about today, specifically with the SPD and the fact their coalition might be falling apart, I hear, which is music to my ears. Do enlighten us on what's been happening over there, please, Carolyn.
Well, yes, it's they've had party conferences. They always have them in December, the end of the year, and the SPD, which is the Social Democrats, which is that party that's been around for 100 years or so, and has been a ruling party in the nation and a big important influence on the supposed to be center left and the Christian Democratic Union and its sister party, the Christian Social Union, which is the Bavarian party, they are supposed to be the center right, you know, and they've been going back and forth for many, many years. And Merkel is in the CDU, the Christian Democratic Party, and has, I think this is her fourth term as chancellor, and they've been in power. And now they keep losing ground, as we've talked about, losing ground, and so it's nice to behold. It's sad for them, and they're getting desperate. But so the SPD was it was time for them to elect new leaders, new party leaders, and they just elected some, seems to me. But I guess it was a kind of a temporary thing at the time because somebody quit. Yeah, that woman, they had quit. So now they've elected two new people who are more farther left than the current two leaders. Now they don't just have one leader. They've gone to this two-leader thing because they can't make up their mind, I guess, on who to have. So they've got a man and a woman. That's what they had before. So the Olaf Scholz, who was the SDP party leader, and along with a woman, who I don't pay much attention to her, he became the finance minister in Merkel's government. He lost. They lost by quite a bit. At least it was very decisive. And these new leaders, they are named Norbert Walter Borjans and Saskia Esken. And she's much taller than the Norbert. It's kind of funny. Funny to see him. She looks down on him. She's a big lady. They won. And they're now the new SDP party leaders, and they're talking, change. They're not going to put up with this, that, or the other thing. And they say that they're not sure that they're going to stay in this coalition if changes aren't made. And they want these changes to be basically to be able to take on new debt. They want Germany. Germany's got this thing. Thank God for Germany. I think it's the only country in the world that does it, wants to stay in the black. And they're proud of that, and they don't want to take on anything that will put the government into the red. And but these Democrats, of course, don't care about that. They want to do that. So they want to take on new debt in order to do a lot of left-wing things like raising pay, giving people more money, and tackling spending more money on climate change. You know, that big boondoggle that just eats up money. They want to spend money, a bunch of money on that. I mean, a lot. And so there's, and the Christian Democrats, who are supposed to, are centrists, they don't want to. So, well, I mean, that's, they say it's not up for debate. They've already made those decisions when they formed this coalition under the other leadership, and they're not making any changes in it now. That's never done, you know, they say. And but these new Democrats say, oh, well, we think we have to have that, or if we don't get that, we're going to leave the coalition. Well, now, since they said that and made all the headlines, now they've pulled back from that. And they're saying, well, they might not do that right away and so on. So in my opinion, it doesn't look like it from what I read that that's going to happen. Nobody's going to do that drastic thing because it's going to hurt them all if they do that. And there's another thing that these Democrats, these new Democrats, they support the Fridays for Future. And, you know, that is the environmental movement set up by Swedish teen Greta Thunberg, which it says here, this is, of course, leftist writing this, but says it has a large following in Germany. Ugh, you know, is all I can say
does
to
it,
that.
Does so it? Does it? I thought there was, I thought the Germans had bumper stickers saying F you Greta. I thought she was hated more in Germany than anywhere else.
Well, they probably do. So there's probably quite a divide there. But when they say large following, that would just mean, you know, large. I don't know. It doesn't mean a majority. So it's probably pretty controversial. But that's the thing. And another thing I want to point out today is, again, is how the media is so biased to the left and going farther left all the time. You know, openly, so that everything they say is like propaganda. It's not news. You know, they're not giving it to you straight. They're trying to move you over to the following their views, following the left. So,
biased.
That's just what this is what DW, the Deutsche Welle article says.
You know, I think. I was just going to say. I think you know what you were saying there about the left and they want to spend money. That is all they ever do. We got the same over here at the moment with the Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn, and he's just promising freebies to everybody. He's promising free internet, free rail, nationalise the electric, nationalise the water, nationalise the gas. He's going to give free transport to people, free TV licenses. And it all just seems to me as if they're trying to bribe people. And, you know, you have this, you know, this thing
well,
between the left and the right there.
Well, I think underneath that, Sven, what they're trying to do is to weaken the governments, to weaken national government, to weaken the nations, so that they all have to depend on this super state, you know, that is, you know, going to run everything. And it's all going to be in debt, but that's okay because the banks will then, you know, the Jewish banks and international banks will then own everything. So I think that's why they don't care how much money they spend, how much debt they go into.
Yeah, you got a good point there.
They don't. They represent that in the wrong way, saying it's for other reasons.
And banks end up owning everything at the end of it. You know that's the plan. But I do think that, you know, also when you were saying there, you know, what the leftist press is saying, that there's a large movement supporting Greta. It's just a large movement among the left. I mean, it's not on the right. Not on the right, is it? Yeah, you know, it's true. You say it's this media. It's you know, it is totally biased. They're more like activists than journalists. You know, I didn't even know that journalists were supposed to be totally unbiased, but they actually are. You know, you wouldn't believe that from looking at our media, because they all have their own opinions on things. And yet to be a journalist, you're supposed to be unbiased, you're supposed to be balanced in your reporting. And I don't see any balance at all coming from the mainstream media. I mean, least of all Germany. some of the things that are coming out of there. But anyway, yeah, please continue.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. That was one of the things. This is a good place to put it in. You know, I totally agree. This is what the media has been doing, but they've gone so far with it, and the political institutions, that I'm saying I foresee that what we're seeing in these in happening in Germany here, just as one spot, is the breakdown in the weakness of the major parties that's happening, is the breakdown of trust in the media and political institutions, and the rise of social media, which I don't like. I don't even participate in it, really. I guess I do on discussion places and comment boards and stuff, but I don't on the big things like Facebook and stuff, or Twitter. But I think the future, therefore, belongs to the so-called populist parties and to historical revisionism, which is coming up. But it's always going to be extremely combative, because you're going to have sides that don't come together, because people are not going to be talked into believing an overall national narrative that everyone goes along with that we used to do. You know, like we went along with the World War II narratives, basically, you know, without any question. And now with the internet has brought on that we have more and more and more questioning, and it's kind of creating a breakdown in our trust in all of this, which should be. We need to, you know, we can't trust it. It's wrong. But it's creating the kind of situation we've got today. And these old forces, what I see, like represented by Merkel and what you were talking about in Britain, are putting up like a death battle to hold on. You sent me that clip in the article at Breitbart about Merkel's talking about freedom of expression has its limits, you know, and how we can't have hate speech. Hate speech doesn't amount to free speech, and so on. And how animated she was, and how strongly she tried to push that. Says we're not going to do that here in the Bundestag. You know, we're not going to allow that. And they're becoming very angry about it. And so it's just going to get more that way until, I don't know what, we're going to have a big free for all or something. But we should see this as inevitable. And that it's not a bad thing, because it's the death of the system that we've had, and the awakening of something else. But it's the awakening has got made up of both sides, who are very polarized and coming out very clearly what they believe in. And it's opposite. It's opposites. And we're, you know, the thing that brought it all together into one kind of a mushy thing that nobody, you know, thought about much, is what's dying off, and this is where we're at. So I guess we should see it as really interesting. You know, we're living in great interesting times and watching this happen and trying to participate in it, and you know, and bring it out to the outcome we'd like to have. So anyway, that leads us, you want to comment on that, and then yeah, I'll go on to the AFD.
Well, yeah, I was just saying. So, you know, so you think that the coalition is falling apart, and as it falls apart, you've got the left is moving further towards the left, and we've got like a hard left over here with the Labour Party, and over there with the coalition in Germany, you've got the SPD, which are pushing to the left, and Merkel wants to hold on to the centre ground, but the centre ground won't hold anymore, and that's really being highlighted here. So Merkel is freaking out and stamping her foot, trying to silence the people that are criticising what's going on.
Well, I think Merkel is actually moving to the left. She has moved to the left. You know, my opinion of these parties in Germany is that there's hardly any centre anymore. And actually, I think the AfD, the Alternative Party, represents the center right, but they call them the far right, you know, and the extreme right. And now with the new officer that they, the new co-leader that they elected, they have moved just slightly, indicating a little more to the center. And therefore, you know, they're trying to be even Gauland was saying, we're the bourgeois party. of Germany, meaning, you know, we're the central party. We're the party of the average people and what they think and so on. We represent the German people in their most typical manner, you know. So
tell us about these new people that are involved with the AfD then, because you think that might be in anticipation.
Well, that was Saturday evening, and they voted I think it was Saturday and Sunday they had their conference, and this is where they voted for leadership again, and Alexander had been co-chairs. They have two also co-chairs, Alexander Gauland and Jörg Mutten. I like Jörg Mutten too. He says the right things, but I think he tends to be more conservative. And I think he's gone along with Gauland, knowing that Gauland was planning on stepping down, you know, at this time. And so, you know, he wasn't going to rock the boat. So I think they might have these co-people because so they represent different factions in the party and satisfy everyone, you know. It's hard to satisfy everyone with one person. So anyway, Gauland, who is 78 now, and I've often thought, you know, he's got to be coming to an end here. He can't go on forever. And I like him so much. He's been a very strong influence in keeping the party, the alternative party, open to what is accused in Germany of being the extreme far right. You know, he's kept it open to that and supported them, even though he's not really one of those. You know, in politics, you have to go along with things that are realistic and where you can make gains, and you're not going to destroy yourself by being too radical. So they voted to take Gauland's place. They voted for this Tino Chrupalla. What a name for a German. Tino Chrupalla. And he's supposed to be a compromise, sort of moderate, but not moderate, only moderate in the eyes of the alternative party, not moderate in the eyes of the other parties. So he seems to be probably not too bad, but well, here I've got a quote from Gauland, where he says, Mutten forecasted that the coalition, the Merkel coalition, will break up. And the FDP party had, that's the business-friendly party, who are also a lot farther left than we are, wannabe, but they are business-friendly. They said that this shock in the SPD of these new leaders means that Germany stands before new elections or a minority government. He was taking it that these new leaders were really going to leave the coalition, and that would mean that they'd have to have new elections and create a new, you know, probably get a new chancellor before Merkel's appointed time to step down in this, you know, immediately. But I don't think that's going to happen. So that's my prediction, and a lot of other people. So it probably won't happen. That would be kind of fun and dramatic, but
do you think that part of this electing these new sort of moderate by AfD standards leaders may be with a view to being seen as more likely to form a coalition with the CDU?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. That's what they want. And that brings us to, if that were to happen, what's going to happen to the AfD if it becomes part of the government? Merkel has to leave, and then they say, well, the new heads probably be two of them. Well, right now they're only talking about AKK, being the new chancellor, but, or, you know, as head of the Christian Democrat Party, but who knows what they'd end up with. They may decide that, well, they're forced to accept the AfD under the new leadership if they got rid of that horrible Alexander Gauland guy, you know, and Bjorn Höcke doesn't have any participation. in the government, and then they would, then that would be, maybe they could get around that what they've said before and say that would be acceptable, and they would be a minority, you know, the lesser partner, and they would have less say, and then they, because they had new leaders and so on. Yeah, very much. I think that's exactly what they have in mind. And Jörg Mouton said earlier that, you know, we have to be prepared to govern. It's coming up. It's coming up. We have to be prepared. So I think this is part of their preparation. And all the people in the party understand it. Now, they didn't all vote for this guy. I mean, he didn't win by a landslide or anything. But he did win. So, you know, the party overall is saying, yeah, you know, this is what we need to do in order to be taken seriously. Because they still are treating the AfD like it's some radical outside thing that nobody will work with. But if they do work with these other parties in the Bundestag, then what? Ugh, these other parties are just all horrible, if you ask me, you know, from my point of view. So it's not a very, it doesn't thrill me. The only thing that thrills me is if the AfD would take over Germany, would take over and become the leading party, which is a long way from doing that, so it's not going to happen. With Gauland and Höcke in charge, that would thrill me. That would make me happy. But otherwise, I see the possibility of this party getting, you know, more to the left, you know, slightly, or just to the center, more, and giving up a lot of. And of course, you know, they're already criticized by so many white nationalists because they're so Jew friendly and they're Israel friendly and all that stuff that they have, that you have to be in Germany. So that's where we stand now. You know, that's where it is.
So if they were to form a coalition, the problem would be that they would have to compromise and they'd be in the same space as all these people that they've spoken out against before. But you have, in the same way, you've got that same issue that's going to occur with the CDU, isn't it? I mean, they've spoken out terribly against the AfD before, and they're going to have to eat their words. But the minor mm-hmm. party in any of these coalitions, they always end up really badly losing out, don't they? I mean, the Liberal Democrats,
yeah.
I'm thinking of in particular, Liberal Democrats with the Conservatives, they were in the coalition with them, and then at the end of that coalition, the Liberal Democrats lost all their MPs, and they lost all credibility and all support, basically. It's taken them years to try and get themselves back from that, and that would be the worry. But you say the AfD, they seem to be going along with this, and they voted for these. For these moderates, so the party seemed to
well,
be
behind
it.
Well, this one guy to be the co-chairman, and I don't know that. He says if the message that's put out is that the AfD is going to take a more moderate course. It's not that he's so moderate or that this is so, but they think, you know, it's like they've decided that they have to throw off this ultra right-wing radical in reputation they have, which they aren't really that way, but with people like Bjorn Höcke speaking out and being always in the media, you know, say, oh, here's this guy and the AfD keeps him in there and he's like a Nazi. Well, you know, he's a Nazi. He speaks Hitler talk and so on. And there's all these ones, leaders in the Eastern Germany, the three states that got such a high vote, a percentage of the vote in their recent elections, which only come every 5 years, so they're important. Well, then, you know, that's how they are demonizing the alternative party. So if, and, you know, there's on this DW page, which is titled, an article titled, Germany's Anti-Immigrant AfD Rejects Shift Further Right. It's a very good article, and I noticed yesterday that since it came out, it's, a, you know, a few days old, they added something, another video at the bottom, which is interesting. But there's also a video on there with a short interview with Bjørn Höcke. And I enjoyed that very much. He was really being very moderate, you know, and just being very soft-spoken and clearly realizing what's going on, not being sidelined, but that he, you know, it's not his time, it's not their time to make a big noise or fuss because of the situation, the situation overall of the parties in Germany and the way they're coming down and the way the AfD is moving up. This is not the time to make it more difficult, and he's not going to. And they're going to work with the situation as it is, and he's going to go along with it. He even said, he said, I'm just a concerned father of four who got into politics, and I made some mistakes early on for which I apologize, he said. And then he went on to say some things, you know, but I thought that was kind of meaningful. You know, he doesn't want to bring a lot of trouble to the party. They're staying in the party. He's like, he's a part of the party. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to switch. He's not going to try to start a new party. I don't think these people are going to break off from the alternative party. They're going to work with it. They're going to go along with things. But another thing about being in the government is that you can't criticize the government then, because it's your, you know, it's your handiwork. And so they go from being a party highly critical of the government in the Bundestag to being defending the government. And that's, you know,
well, again, that's
very
that's,
different. That's not the way we have in the United States. So it's taken me a while to really get a grip on how this works over there in Europe.
So they're really trying to put themselves forwards as a credible alternative to the SPD. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of hoping that there's going to be a big fallout between Merkel and the SPD, and then the AfD will be sort of stood there and they'll be clean, and they won't have this guy that's always been accused of Hitler talking and dressing up like Hitler and all these other accusations they've made. They can say, well, look, we've got new leadership, we've got these moderate plans. Why don't you come and form a coalition with us? And then you don't have to have these far left crazy.
Oh, yeah. And then
that's
absolutely right. And that brings up another thing that Höcke said in that interview. He said, or I guess it was, he said, I have my hands full with my own state, because he's now the premier in some way. He's the premier of Thuringia. At least that's what he said. He used that's what the translation was, premier in Thuringia. Anyway, he's head of the leading party, they came in second.
Second, didn't they?
Whatever it is, I don't think he's not the premier, but he's something. Maybe in some of there's some office called that. Anyway, he says, you know, he's got all the work he can handle and he's not going to get involved in national politics, so to speak. So there again, he's saying, you know, I'm not going to be a part of the whole debate in the Bundestag and stuff. I'm just going to stick with my own state and build up what I've, you know, build up our party in the state. So that was another sign, you know, indication of what they're doing. What I think it's all their strategy. I think it's their strategy that pretty much everyone is accepting is the best one.
Well, yeah, it's the best, you know, what you got to weigh it up, haven't you? Do we want to be in power? But even if they're in a coalition, at least then they can actually make some changes. All the while they're in opposition, they can't, they've got no power. Well, they can't make the changes.
Right.
So they've got to balance that up and weigh that up. We'll just have to see what happens. Anyway, thank you very much for that, Caroline. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.